Chapter 9. Kurovyov's Capers. Nikanor Ivanovich Busoy, chairman of the Tenants' Association of No. 302B, Setovaya Street in Moscow, former residence of the late Berlioz, had been awfully overwhelmed since Wednesday night. At midnight, as we already know, the commission that included Zeldibin arrived in the building and summoned Nikanor Ivanovich, informing him of Berlioz's demise. Together, they headed to apartment number 50. Here, papers and various other belongings of the deceased were sealed. Neither Grunia, the visiting maid, nor the nonchalant Stefan Bogdanovich had been in the apartment at the time. The commission announced to Nikanor Ivanovich that the papers of the deceased would be taken for review, that the living quarters of the deceased, that is, three rooms, once serving as the jeweller's wife's study, living room and dining room, would revert to the Tenants' Association, and that the belongings of the deceased were to be stored in the aforementioned living quarters until such time as heirs were found. The news of Berlioz's demise spread around the building with supernatural speed. Starting at 7 in the morning on Thursday, Busoy was plagued first by phone calls and then by personally delivered petitions, all containing claims to the deceased man's living space. And in the course of 2 hours, Nikanor Ivanovich accepted 32 such petitions. They contained pleas, threats, libels, accusations, promises to conduct renovations at own expense, as well as references to unbearable overcrowding and the inability to share an apartment with bandits. Among them was a tale, astounding in its artistic prowess, of the theft of some dumplings from apartment number 31, which were placed directly in a jacket pocket, as well as 2 suicide threats and 1 confession of secret pregnancy. Nikanor Ivanovich was summoned to the hall of his apartment, taken by his sleeve, whispered and winked at, and promised he would not regret the deal. The torture continued until 1 o'clock in the afternoon, when Nikanor Ivanovich simply fled his apartment for the management office by the gate, and then, seeing others lying in wait by the office, ran away from there as well. Somehow fighting off those following on his heels over the asphalted courtyard, Nikanor Ivanovich disappeared in the entrance of the 6th staircase and ascended to the 5th floor, where the vile apartment number 50 was located. Catching his breath on the landing, the portly Nikanor Ivanovich rang the doorbell, but no one answered. He rang again and again, and was already starting to grumble and curse under his breath. But even then the door stayed closed. Nikanor Ivanovich lost his patience, extracted the management's ring of spare keys from his pocket, opened the door with an authoritative hand, and walked in.
"Hey, housekeeper!"
Nikanor Ivanovich yelled in the dim hall.
"What's your face? It's Grunia, is it? You there?"
No one answered. Nikanor Ivanovich relieved the study door of its seal, extracted a folding ruler from his briefcase, and stepped inside the room. That is, he began to step inside, but stopped immediately in the doorway, in amazement, and even gave a start. A tall, thin, unknown gentleman sat at the desk of the deceased, wearing a checked jacket, jockey cap, and a pince-nez. In other words, that same one.
"And who would you be, mister?"
Nikanor Ivanovich asked in alarm.
"Wow, Nikanor Ivanovich!"
the unexpected gentleman bellowed in a vibrating tenor. Leaping up, he greeted the chairman with a sudden and forced handshake. The greeting did not please Nikanor Ivanovich in the least.
"I beg pardon," he began suspiciously. "Who would you be exactly? Are you an official person?"
"Oh, Nikanor Ivanovich,"
the unknown man exclaimed affectionately.
"What's an official or unofficial person? Everything depends on your point of view, Nikanor Ivanovich. It's also subjective and hazy. Today, I am an unofficial person, and tomorrow, look, official.
Or it can happen the other way around, Nikanor Ivanovich. And how?"
This argument did not satisfy the chairman of the Tenants' Association to any degree. A suspicious person by nature, he concluded that the gentleman vocalising in front of him was precisely of the unofficial variety, perhaps an outright loafer.
"So who are you? What's your name?"
the chairman demanded with increasing harshness, and even began to advance on the stranger.
"My name is, oh, let's say, Kurovyov,"
replied the man, unfazed by the harshness.
Say, how about a bite to eat, Nikanor Ivanovitch? Let's drop the formalities, huh?
Excuse me, said Nikanor Ivanovitch, becoming incensed. What does eating have to do with anything?
We must admit, unpleasant though it is, that Nikanor Ivanovitch was a rather rude man.
You can't lounge around on the living space of the deceased. What are you doing here?
Why don't you sit down, Nikanor Ivanovitch?
Bawled the man, absolutely unfettered, and began to fuss around the chairman, offering him a seat. Completely enraged, Nikanor Ivanovitch rejected the chair and howled,
Who are you already?
I'm an interpreter, if you please, attached to the foreign person now taking residency in this apartment,
the one calling himself Korovyov clarified, clicking the heels of his dirty brown shoes. Nikanor Ivanovitch's mouth fell open. The presence of a foreigner in the apartment, much less one with an interpreter, came as a complete surprise to him. He demanded an explanation. The interpreter gladly explained himself. The foreign artist, Sir Volant, had been kindly invited by the director of the variety, Stefan Bogdanovich Likhodayev, to spend the duration of his tour, or about a week, in the director's apartment. This was communicated to Nikanor Ivanovitch in writing as early as yesterday, along with a request to register the foreigner temporarily as a tenant while Likhodayev is away in Yalta.
He didn't write me anything, the chairman said in amazement.
Why don't you dig around in your briefcase, Nikanor Ivanovitch? Korovyov suggested sweetly.
Shrugging his shoulders, Nikanor Ivanovitch opened the briefcase and found Likhodayev's letter inside.
How did I forget about it? Nikanor Ivanovitch muttered, staring obtusely at the opened envelope.
It happens, Nikanor Ivanovitch,
Korovyov screeched.
Forgetfulness, and exhaustion, and elevated blood pressure, my dear friend Nikanor Ivanovitch. I myself am frightfully forgetful. One day I'll share a few facts from my biography with you over a drink. You'll die laughing.
When does Likhodayev leave for Yalta?
He's left already, the interpreter shouted. He's already rolling, you know, and he's hell knows where.
And he began to flail his arms like windmill blades. Nikanor Ivanovitch declared that he would need to see the foreigner personally. But this was denied by the interpreter. Quite impossible. Busy. Training the cat.
The cat I can show you if you like,
Korovyov offered. This was in turn declined by Nikanor Ivanovitch, and then the interpreter immediately put forth an unexpected but very interesting proposition to the chairman. Taking into account that Sir Volant staunchly refuses to live in a hotel, and that he is used to living large, would the Tenants' Association consider leasing him the entire apartment, including rooms belonging to the deceased, for the week that Volant performs in Moscow?
After all, the deceased won't care, Korovyov hissed. He's got precious little use for the apartment now, won't you agree, Nikanor Ivanovitch?
Slightly confused, Nikanor Ivanovitch protested that foreigners ought to stay at the Metropole and not at all in private apartments.
I tell you, he's capricious as hell knows what, Korovyov whispered. He just doesn't want to. Doesn't like hotels. I've had it up to here with these foreigners.
He complained intimately, jabbing at his sinewy neck.
Believe me, they just wring the soul right out of you. They come here, and they either spy like the dirty little sons of bitches they are, or else they just get on your nerves with their whims. Give them this and give them that. But at the same time, there are great benefits and a clear profit in this for your tenants' association, Nikanor Ivanovitch.
Money's not an issue.
Korovyov glanced round and then whispered in the chairman's ear, Millionaire. The interpreter's offer was undoubtedly practical and sound, and yet something remarkably unsound peeked through in his manner of speech, his clothing, and his repugnant, useless pince-nez. As a result, the chairman was filled with vague unease. And still he decided to accept the proposal. The fact was that the Tenants' Association had, alas, put itself in deficit. Come autumn, oil would have to be purchased to power the steam heaters, and where was the money? With the foreigner's money, it would perhaps be possible to pull through. However, the cautious and thorough Nikanor Ivanovich announced that he would first need to settle the matter with the Travellers' Bureau.
Understood, Korovyov exclaimed. Couldn't do without settling it. No, sir. Here's the phone, Nikanor Ivanovich. You settle it right away, and don't be shy about money,
he added in a whisper, drawing the chairman to the telephone in the hall.
Who should pay if not him? If you only saw his villa in Nice, next time, when you go abroad, drop by there. It'll take your breath away.
The Travellers' Bureau resolved the matter over the phone with unusual speed, astonishing the chairman. It turned out that they already knew about Zavolant's intention to live in Likudiev's private apartment and did not object in the least.
Wonderful!
Bawled Korovyov. Somewhat disorientated by Korovyov's constant screeching, the chairman informed him that the Tenants' Association agreed to lease apartment number 50 to the artist named Volant at the rate of... Nikanor Ivanovich fidgeted slightly and said,
500 rubles a day.
Here, Korovyov completely shocked the chairman, casting a dishonest glance towards the bedroom where the soft leaps of a heavy cat could be heard. He hissed,
So, for 1 week, that comes out to 3,500.
Nikanor Ivanovich thought he would add,
Some appetite you've got, Nikanor Ivanovich.
But Korovyov said something else entirely.
What kind of sum is that? Ask for 5, you'll pay.
Grinning embarrassedly, Nikanor Ivanovich somehow found himself by the deceased man's desk, where Korovyov drafted 2 copies of a contract with the greatest speed and skill. He then flew into the bedroom and returned with 2 copies already marked with the foreigner's broad signature. The chairman signed as well. Then Korovyov asked for a receipt for 5.
Write it out, Nikanor Ivanovich. 1,000 rubles.
With words that seemed somehow out of place in a serious business transaction,
Ein, zwei, drei.
He laid out 5 brand new banknote stacks for the chairman. This was followed by counting, interspersed with quips and jibes from Korovyov, such as,
Coin loves counting, own eye doesn't lie,
and so on like that. Having counted the money, the chairman received the foreigner's passport for temporary registration purposes, placed it in his case along with the contract and the money, and, unable to help himself, asked guiltily for a free pass to the show.
What's to talk about? Korovyov roared. How many tickets, Nikanor Ivanovich? 12? 15?
The stunned chairman explained that he only needed a couple for himself and Pelagio Antonovna, his wife. Korovyov instantly whipped out a notepad and dashed off a front-row pass for 2 persons. He deftly thrust the pass at Nikanor Ivanovich with his left hand, and with his right he placed a thick, crackling wad of bills into the chairman's other hand. Throwing a glance at it, Nikanor Ivanovich turned bright red and began to push it away.
That's not allowed, he muttered.
I won't hear of it,
Korovyov hissed right in his ear.
With us it's not allowed, and with foreigners it is. You'll hurt his feelings, Nikanor Ivanovich, and that's just not polite. You've worked hard.
Strictly prosecuted,
the chairman whispered ever so quietly and looked around.
And where are the witnesses?
Korovyov whispered in his other ear.
I'm asking you, where are they? What are you talking about?
At this point, there happened what the chairman would later describe as a miracle. The wad crawled into his case all by itself. And then, weakened and almost broken, the chairman found himself back on the staircase. A torrent of thoughts raged in his head. There was the villa in Nice, and the trained cat, and the thought that there really weren't any witnesses, and that Pelagio Antonovna would like the free passes. They were jumbled thoughts, but pleasant on the whole. Nevertheless, a tiny needle poked at the chairman in the depths of his soul. It was the needle of unease. Moreover, another consideration suddenly struck him like a stroke right there on the stairs. But how did the interpreter get into the study if the doors had been sealed? And how could he, Nikanor Ivanovich, not have asked about that? The chairman stood there for a while, glaring stupidly at the staircase like a sheep, but then decided to just forget the whole thing and stopped tormenting himself with this convoluted question. As soon as the chairman left the apartment, a low voice came from the bedroom.
"I do not like this Nikanor Ivanovich. He is a miser and a crook. Could you make it so that he doesn't come any more?"
"Messiah, you need but give the order,"
Korolyov replied from somewhere, his usual rattling replaced by a very clear and resonant voice. And immediately, the accursed interpreter appeared in the hall, dialed a number, and began to whine tearfully into the receiver.
"Hello. I consider it my duty to inform you that our chairman of the Tenants' Association in building number 302B on Sadovia, Nikanor Ivanovich Bosoy, is illegally speculating in foreign currency. At the present time, he has $400 wrapped in a newspaper hidden in the ventilation shaft in the bathroom of his apartment number 35. This is the resident of said building speaking, Timofey Kvartsov, from apartment number 11. I'm begging you to keep my name a secret. I fear retribution from the aforementioned chairman."
And he hung up, the scoundrel. What took place thereafter, in apartment number 50, is unknown. But we know exactly what transpired at Nikanor Ivanovich's. Locking himself in the bathroom, he took the wad forced upon him by the interpreter out of the briefcase and determined that it contained 400 rubles. Nikanor Ivanovich wrapped the wad in a piece of newspaper and stuck it in the ventilation shaft. 5 minutes later, the chairman was sitting at the table in his small dining room. His wife emerged from the kitchen, carrying neatly sliced herring, amply sprinkled with scallions. Nikanor Ivanovich poured himself a shot, drank it, poured another, drank that, procured 3 pieces of herring with his fork, and then the doorbell rang, just as Pelagio Antonovna brought in a steaming pot, one look at which was enough to tell that inside, in a fiery borscht brew, there lay the most delicious thing in the world, a marrow bone. Swallowing his saliva, Nikanor Ivanovich growled like a dog.
"Ah, would you all get lost? They won't even let me eat. Don't let anyone in. I'm not here, not home. And as for the apartment, tell them to stop whining. There'll be a meeting in a week."
His wife ran to the hall, while Nikanor Ivanovich took a ladle and began to drag the treasure from the fire-breathing lake, the bone cracked lengthwise. And at that moment, 2 gentlemen walked into the dining room, accompanied by an unusually pale Pelagio Antonovna. Glancing at the gentlemen, Nikanor Ivanovich paled also and rose from his seat.
"Where's the bathroom?"
asked the first man, who was wearing a white shirt, in a concerned tone. Something thumped on the dinner table. Nikanor Ivanovich dropped the ladle on the vinyl tablecloth.
"This way, this way,"
Pelagio Antonovna blurted out. The arrivals immediately headed into the hallway.
What's the matter?"
Nikanor Ivanovich asked quietly, trailing behind the visitors.
"We don't have anything in the apartment. And your papers, excuse me."
Without stopping, the first man showed Nikanor Ivanovich his papers. The second was already standing on a stool in the bathroom, with his hand thrust into the ventilation shaft. Nikanor Ivanovich's vision went dark. The newspaper was removed, but instead of rubles, the wad contained some unknown currency, perhaps blue, perhaps green, bearing images of some old man. Nikanor Ivanovich saw all this through a haze. Strange spots floated before his eyes. "Dollars in the ventilation shaft," the first man said pensively, and asked Nikanor Ivanovich softly and politely, "Your bundle?"
"No," Nikanor Ivanovich replied in a terrible voice. "Planted here by enemies."
"That can happen," the first man agreed, and again added softly, "All right then, let's have the rest."
"I don't have any! By God, I don't have any! Never laid a hand on any!"
the chairman cried desperately. He ran to the dresser, pulled out a drawer with a crash,
and his briefcase out of the drawer, all the while yelling incoherently.
"Here's the contract, scum of an interpreter, set me up. Could I be off? In a pince-nez?"
He opened the briefcase, looked inside, shoved his hand in, turned blue, and dropped the case into the soup. There was nothing in the briefcase. No letter from Stiopa. No contract. No foreigner's passport. No money. No free passes. That is, nothing but the folding ruler.
"Comrades,"
the chairman cried frantically,
"get them! There's witchcraft afoot!"
No one knows what Pelagia Antonovna imagined at that point, but she wrung her hands and exclaimed,
"Confess, Ivanich, you'll get off lighter."
His eyes bloodshot. Nikanor Ivanovich raised his fists over his wife's head and rasped,
"You damn fool!"
Then he went limp and sank into a chair, evidently deciding to accept the inevitable. Meanwhile, outside on the landing, Timofey Kondratievich Kvastov was glued to the keyhole of the chairman's apartment, taking turns looking and listening, dying of curiosity. 5 minutes later, the residents standing outside could witness the chairman being escorted by two unknown persons straight to the gate. As they later told, Nikanor Ivanovich was barely recognizable, staggered like a drunk as he passed, and kept muttering something unintelligible. And an hour later, an unknown gentleman appeared in apartment number 11, just as Timofey Kondratievich, gasping with delight, was relating to the other tenants how the chairman got burned. The visitor beckoned Timofey Kondratievich from the kitchen to the hall, said something to him, and they both disappeared.